Hello, this is Pat, and I'm coming to you today with the Clinton Journal from Friday, February the 20th. And from the front page, the city hires the firm to help with the TIF development, Gordon Woods reporting. Clinton, as the city of Clinton moves forward to develop a new TIF, Tax Increment Financing District, a TIF expert talked to the city council on Tuesday. Gwen Crawford, a vice president of the Economic Development Group, was present to give the council a brief summary about what her firm does. As you know, we've been trying to identify a consultant that can help with the upcoming TIF project. We will be creating a new TIF, one or two, we're not quite sure, said the city administrator, Tony Harris. We're trying to identify the area where we want to use as the TIF boundary. Harris said Crawford would provide information to assist the city in terminating the current expired TIF 1 district and the annual administration of TIF 4, which includes the downtown area and part of Center Street, as well as the work to create the new TIF districts. A TIF district is a designated geographical area that is part of a municipality in which future increases in property tax revenue generated by economic development or redevelopment are captured and used to finance public improvements and redevelopment projects within the district. Crawford gave the council a packet explaining her firm's services. This list set out our services for setting up a TIF district and annual administration of an existing TIF district, Crawford said. It looks like here we'll probably be doing both. She said the city would receive the final year of revenue for the TIF 1 district this year. So we'll help you determine how to spend that, Crawford said, and then close it out and transfer any existing money into a contiguous TIF district. She said they were in the beginning stages of finding an area that would form a potential new TIF district. So we are pretty much do everything. Jacob and Klein is her company's law firm and the Economic Development Group is their consulting firm. We're two companies in one, Crawford said. You hire one of us, you hire both. The contract the city approved Tuesday provides for Crawford's firm to administer the new TIF district each year. She would receive the parcel information for all of the TIF districts and track the changes each year. She also would help the city with its budgeting process and help it determine how to work within the TIF district. Figure out how you're going to spend that money for the year, she said. And then we write all the agreements, all the intergovernmental agreements with taxing bodies, or the redevelopment agreements with developers and calibrate what you have to pay them every year. They also help the city with its audit each year and file its TIF report with the state. Crawford's company will charge the city a flat fee with regular consulting for no additional charges. And also from the front page, there's a new agent in town, Gordon Woods reporting. As the city of Clinton moves forward with its downtown revitalization plans, another space is not now occupied in Mr. Lincoln Square. Caleb Dirks opened his country financial office on Warner Court in November. I worked for another insurance company for about 20 years, Dirks said. This has always been an interest and a passion I wanted to pursue, and I started this agency here in Clinton on November the 1st. Dirk said having an agency and being able to help people was something he was really interested in doing. I had an opportunity to come up here to Clinton around November, and I decided to take the opportunity, he said. I plan on doing this for the next 20 to 25 years and have my footprints in the area. Dirks is originally from Mount Pulaski. So I grew up coming over here as a kid, he said. He said he remembers coming to Clinton on Sundays to eat at Mavericks on the square. It was a fun time with family after church. Dirks lived in Hayworth for 13 years. He got married in August to Alana Martin from the Atlanta-McLean area. He and his wife currently live in the Lincoln area and have a little boy on the way in July. Dirks also served on the Haworth Fire Department for about 10 years. So it's been a busy year, Dirks said, and we're looking forward to move back this way. Dirks has been a member of the Zion Lutheran Church in Chestnut his entire life, where he is also a trustee. He said he was excited to meet the clients already served by the agency. Those customers were served by country agent John Prater before he unexpectedly passed away. Kelly Judd joined Dirks running the office. She was previously with Prater. Kelly is a terrific staff member here, Dirks said. She was part of that office as well and was able to stay and maintain those clients, so that's been great. It's a blessing to have her on my team because she knows a lot and does a great job with the systems. In his private life, Dirks said he has always enjoyed traveling and going on adventures. Find somewhere to rent a car and just drive off into the mountains and see where the road takes me, he said. I love music. I love playing guitar and singing. Dirks is also an IndyCar and NASCAR racing fan. He said he was interested in joining some of the local service organizations in the area and has attended Clinton Rotary. Apart from that, I'm just interested in helping everybody with protecting their assets and helping with their needs in the future. 4-H member finishes in top three at state horse judging contest. Several local 4-H members competed in the 2026 Illinois State 4-H contest on February the 1st at Black Hawk College in Galva. The statewide event brought together youth from 29 Illinois counties for a day of skill development and fun. Lexi Merriman, DeWitt County 4-H member, earned an impressive third place in the Reasons division. Her top three finish also qualifies her to participate in the Invitational contest later this year, where final selections will be made for the 4-H state horse judging team. Lillian Elsie, Annabelle Hamblin, and Amla Horn also represent DeWitt County 4-H, participating in the non-Reasons division, giving valuable experience. During the contest, youth judge six classes of horses, including at least two halter classes. Participants in the non-Reasons divisions are expected to complete a questions class, while participants in the Reasons divisions are scored on their oral reasoning skills and the ability to justify their placings. Additionally, participants in the Reasons division must be at least 14 years old. The Illinois State 4-H Horse Judging Contest provides youth with an opportunity to demonstrate their equine knowledge in a competitive environment that emphasizes fairness and sportsmanship. Horse judging also helps 4-H members strengthen their decision-making, objective reasoning, and public speaking skills. The contest was hosted by the Black Hawk College Equine Program. Farmer City Heritage Days scheduled for May 29th and 30th. Farmer City, the 2026 Farmer City Heritage Days will be held May 29th through 30th at the Farmer City DeWitt County Fairgrounds with a two-day rodeo event and entertainment from the country rock duo Lakeview and nationally known country music artist Randy Houser. General admission is free to the rodeo and concerts. The festival will include bull riding, ranch bronc riding, barrel racing, and rodeo activities, as well as vendors, food trucks, and a 5K run and a car show. Heritage Days will also feature a carnival and kids zone. A community night will be held Thursday, May the 28th, to promote community spirit ahead of the weekend festivities. Gates for both the rodeo and concerts will open at 5 p.m. each evening, with the rodeo starting at 6:30 p.m., followed by the concert at 9 p.m. Party pit tickets are available now at www.farmercityheritagedays.com. We have two obituaries today. The first, Gregory E. Birk, B-I-R-K, of Clinton. Gregory E. Birk, 62, of Clinton, passed away at 9:25 a.m. on February the 12th, 2026, at his residence, surrounded by loved ones. A celebration of Greg's life will be held at 2 p.m. on Saturday, February the 28th, 2026, at Clinton's Eagle Lodge, Calvert Funeral Home. Clinton assisted the family with the cremation rites. And our second, Catherine A. Katie Whitehead. Catherine A. Katie Whitehead, 87, of Clinton, passed away at 9:08 p.m. on February the 11th, 2026, at her family residence. Private family graveside services will be held at Texas Township Cemetery in Clinton at a later date. The family has entrusted Calvert Funeral Home in Clinton with arrangements. In further news, the Illinois Electric Vehicle Rebate Program application cycle is extended to May the 31st. Springfield Environmental Protection Agency Acting Director James Jennings today announced an extension to the current electrical vehicle EV rebate program application cycle from January the 31st, 2026 to May the 31st, 2026. Illinois EPA will process all applications received through January the 31st, 2026, including non-low income, given those individuals applied with the expectation that rebates would be processed at the end of the initial application cycle. After January the 31st, 2026, Illinois EPA will again prioritize low-income applications as specified in the program requirements, which are available on the Illinois EPA's EV rebate program webpage. Updated forms and instructions to submit a rebate application are currently available on the webpage. We continue to see great interest in the program, but we are pleased to see the funds available beyond the first few weeks, as we experienced in previous funding cycles, said Acting Director Jennings. Legislative changes that were made to the program in 2025 have proven to be effective in sustaining the EV rebate program while prioritizing residents with the greatest need for the incentive. The Illinois General Assembly appropriated $14 million to the Illinois EPA for the current fiscal year, FY26, which ends on June the 30th, 2026. Current applications received represent a fraction of that funding. However, actual funding amounts will be determined by the amount of money available in the Electric Vehicle Rebate Fund. Rebates will be issued to the eligible individuals as funding is available. As a reminder, program updates effective in FY26 include limits on the price of the vehicle. An eligible vehicle, as defined by the EV Rebate Act, is one with a selling price not to exceed $80,000, as shown on the bill of sale. Change to the rebate amount. The rebate is $2,000 for an eligible new or used electric vehicle. Low-income applicants are eligible to receive an additional $2,000, $4,000 in a total rebate. This rebate amount for eligible motorcycles remains the same, $1,500 for all eligible applicants. Cap on the income of applicants. An eligible applicant is defined as persons and families whose income does not exceed 500% of the federal poverty line for the current state fiscal year and who may not be claimed as a dependent. The application materials will include a table on income eligibility. Change to the definition of low-income applicant. A low-income applicant is defined as person and families whose income does not exceed 80% of the regional or county median income for the current state fiscal year, as established by the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development's Illinois income limits by metropolitan area and county. Median income can be found on the HUD website at Illinois Low Income Limits by County. Longer time to apply from the date of the vehicle purchase. Applicants have 180 days from the date of purchase to apply, up from 90 days previously. Applicants must be submitted during an open application period. Full eligibility requirements are found in the EV Rebate Act and associated Illinois EPA program rules. These requirements include, but are not limited to, the vehicle must be a new or used all-electric vehicle and legally permitted to drive on all public roadways, including interstate highways. The vehicle must be purchased, not rented or leased, from a dealership licensed by the Illinois Secretary of State. The vehicle cannot have been subject of a previous EV rebate under this program. Only individuals that are Illinois residents can receive a rebate, and an individual can only receive one EV rebate under this program. The purchaser must retain ownership of the vehicle for a minimum of 12 consecutive months immediately after their vehicle purchase date. Questions about the EV rebate program may be submitted to epa.ev@illinois.gov. And from the op-ed page, I Don't Get It, the On Point column by Richard Koritz. Since this past Friday, we are now in the midst of another partial federal government shutdown. I understand the children we sent to Congress cannot get along, but this shutdown makes no logical sense from a pragmatic observation. The Democrats hate Trump, and the Republicans cannot get their act together to pass legislation in Congress. Everybody wants to be the prima donna. The good of the nation is secondary to party politics. The issues are the same as the last shutdown. The Democrats do not like the ICE agents and want significant changes. Okay, but just where are we at? The budget for the ICE has already been funded. The shutdown does not directly impact the budget of ICE. It does impact the Coast Guard, FEMA, Secret Service, TSA, and some other security personnel. Most of those personnel are mandated employees who are required to work, regardless of whether or not they're getting a paycheck. Our planes may be slowed down. The Coast Guard may not respond as quickly as some non-essential employees may be on layoff. But the real work of these agencies will be ongoing. One of the major demands of the anti-ICE group is for the officers to be required to wear body cameras. That money is in the bill the House passed and has been delayed in the Senate. When the bill gets passed, the cameras are funded. Yes, ICE can do some of its enforcement work in a less heavy-handed manner. However, one has to look at the totality of circumstances. In several cities, the local authorities are not cooperating with ICE, and in some, they appear to be in opposition to ICE's efforts, which creates a safety issue for the officers and requires the use of more force. Interfering with a federal officer is a criminal offense, but rarely have protesters been arrested and prosecuted. The Trump administration has addressed some of these issues by placing Homan in charge of the federal officers. This appears to have greatly calmed the situation in Minneapolis. The situation with ICE appears to be calming down, but the left wants to shut down government to make a political point. I checked the calendar this morning, and it is 9 months until the midterm elections. That is where the issue should be determined. If the public is outraged with the current state of affairs, the public will vote those people out of office. In like fashion, if the public is satisfied with the action of those now in power, the public will vote to retain those members now in Congress. As to why we are now in the midst of another government shutdown, I don't get it. As to the election, Illinois and DeWitt County go to the polls on March 17th for the primary election. Early voting is now in effect. DeWitt County has several contested local elections for the Republicans. For the Democrats, you must go to the state elections for a contested election. Locally, we have 5 candidates vying for 3 ballot positions for county board in District B. This year, both the sheriff and county clerk's elections are contested in the primary. Please exercise your constitutional freedoms and cast your vote for the candidate of your choice. Your privilege to vote was paid for by a lot of toil and blood by our forefathers. Don't take it lightly. Ask yourself what the candidate stands for and what he, she has done to further your trust in that process, in that person as a candidate. Vote early or vote on March the 17th, but vote for the person you believe is best for the job. Richard Corrix is an Illinois native, attorney, and former DeWitt County State's Attorney. And now for sports. The Lady Maroons go 26-4 with a win over the Lady Broncos. Mark Rogers reporting. It was a tense, exciting evening, February the 11th at CHS, as the 25-4 varsity Lady Maroons took on the Lady Broncos of Cerro Gordo Bement. It was also senior night for the Lady Maroons and the chance to reach 26 wins on the season. The evening began with a junior varsity game with Clinton winning, and then the presentation of the 4 seniors on the team, as well as the M Squad dance team seniors. The basketball seniors were Clara Dempsey, Carly Anderson, Lila Clover, and Avery Smith. These ladies will be greatly missed, and also during the season, Dempsey, Anderson, and Smith, in this evening's game, all reached over 1,000 points in their careers at Clinton High School. Quite an amazing group of senior basketball players. If the Lady Broncos thought that they would create a stampede and make some points, they were sorely mistaken. The Lady Maroons took charge and reined in the Lady Broncos, corralling them, holding them to 6 points, while their own horsemanship showed by shooting 9 buckets for 20 points. There were 2 threes in the foray. Things heated up in the second quarter as the opposition began to feel their oats. They scored 12 points, but the home team rattled off 24 points of their own to lead 44-18 at halftime. The Lady Broncos had a second rally after the halftime break, scoring another 12 points in the third quarter against the home team's 16 points going into the final quarter. With mostly substitutes playing the final stanza, the Lady Maroons scored just 8 points but kept the opposition scoreless to take the 68-30 win. The visitors were sent packing with an 11-19 record, while the home team moved to 26-4. The Lady Maroons were led by Clara Dempsey with a game-high 23 points, including 3 trays, followed by Avery Smith with 18 points and Carly Anderson with 12 points. All 4 seniors scored points to secure this win. The visiting Lady Broncos only had 1 player in double figures in Sophia Ferguson with 11 points, including 1 3-pointer. The Lady Maroons move on to play the St. Teresa Lady Bulldogs in their final season game. Carter earned state berth for Clinton. Stanford. Clinton will be represented on the state's biggest wrestling stage after Briley Carter secured a state berth at the IHSA Class 1A Olympia Sectional, February the 13th and 14th. Carter placed 3rd at 120 pounds to qualify for the IHSA Class 1A state finals, set for February the 19th through the 21st at the State Farm Center in Champaign. Carter opened the sectional with a strong performance, earning a major decision over Camp Point Central's Grayson Steele in the first round. He followed with another major decision victory over Illini Bluffs' Liam Major in the quarterfinals to advance the semifinals. After a narrow 5-2 loss to Portis Canaan Fulbright in the semifinals, Carter bounced back in the consolation bracket. He pinned Gibson City Melbourne Sibley's Gaydon Huster in the consolation semifinals to secure his spot at state. Carter then capped the tournament with a 3-2 decision over Hayworth's Emmett Roeder and the state third-place match, finishing the sectional with a 13-3 record and a trip to Champaign. He will now represent Clinton in the IHSA Class 1A State Finals, February the 19th to 21st at the State Farm Center. The Maroons, 21-8 after a final home game with 58-43 win over the Raiders. Mark Rogers reporting. Clinton. The Clinton varsity boys played their final home game of the season on February the 13th, but it wasn't bad luck. The Central A&M Raiders were in town this night to see if they could change their fortunes. The festivities began after the JV win with the presentation of five seniors who will leave the Maroons after this season. The five players moving on this year are Keaton Graves, Keegan Daughtry, Jackson Reynolds, Wyatt Timmons, and Brock Wilson. May you all have success in your future endeavors. The Raiders came out strong in the first quarters, but not quite as strong as the home team. Clinton took the first quarter 19-13. The saving grace for the home team was the second quarter when they tore through the defense for 14 points and stifled the offense, holding them to only 4 points. This gave the Maroons a 33-17 lead at halftime. The Raiders were a little sluggish coming out after the break and went 4 more points down, giving the Maroons a 46-26 lead after 3 quarters. Then things got a little dicey. The Raiders found their groove in the fourth quarter and fired off 17 points. However, the Maroons were up to the challenge and returned fire 4-12 points of their own to give the home team a 15-point win, 58-43. The Maroons were led by Keaton Graves with a game high of 28 points with 3 three-pointers, followed by Keegan Daughtry with 10 points. The Raiders also had 2 players in double figures, together scoring 1 more point than Graves. Emmett Stenger had 16 points, including 4 three-pointers, and he was assisted by Ace Spinner with 13 points, including 3 trays. The Maroons moved to a 21-8 overall and a 4-1 in conference play. The Raiders fall to 10-17 and 0-4, respectively. The Maroons will start regional play at home on Monday the 23rd at 6:30 p.m. against the Marshall Lions, 12-14. The Maroons, 21-8, still have 2 away games in the regular season at Monticello on February the 17th and Argentina Orienta on February the 20th. In law enforcement this week, DeWitt County Sheriff's Office, February the 6th through 13th. Christine Brown, 49, of Clinton, was issued a citation for speeding, 79 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone. Brown was released with no required court appearance. Carrie Gray, 36, of Bloomington, was issued a citation for speeding 85 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone. Gray was released with a required court appearance. Hayden Whitted, 20, Clinton, was issued a citation for speeding 72 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone. He was released with a required court appearance. Jennifer Rice, 36, of Decatur, was issued a citation for operating a vehicle with no valid driver's license. Rice was released with a required court appearance. All suspects are presumed innocent until found guilty. And to close this segment, a couple of dates in history. In 1931, the U.S. Congress allowed California to build the Oakland Bay Bridge. In 1933, the U.S. House of Representatives completed congressional action on the amendment to repeal prohibition. And on those notes, I will leave you and plan to see you next week. Have a good day and a good week. Bye.